Good morning. I'm Luis Sainz, your host for Focus on Campus. And joining us today is Jorge Vasquez. Jorge is the Executive Director of Special Events here at UTEP. And we're going to talk a little bit about what goes on behind the scenes, who's coming, who's not coming, and what happens to get these acts here into El Paso. Jorge, thank you very much for being with us here today.
Thank you for the invitation, Luis. Very excited to be here.
Now, Jorge, let's talk a little bit about your past, because I remember you working here. Did you go here as a student?
I was here as a student.
You did. So you've worked your way up. You're one of these successful miner stories that, you know, you work in the mine shaft here, you strike gold, and you all of a sudden you're at the top, and you started as a student. So tell us about your journey that way.
Yes, I'm very fortunate to be a UTEP alum from right here from the communications department. I think I even took classes with you at some point. And I always liked show business. I always was attracted to that. My major was public relations here. And I started getting involved with the office that I now manage, the Office of Special Events. Back then, I was a volunteer. I would distribute flyers and put up posters and whatever else needed to be done. And somebody gave me, Carol Robert Spence, my former boss, gave me a chance, and she gave me a student position. I would book the Wednesday Music Cafe concert series in the Union Plaza, and I did that for a while, so that introduced me to the booking part of the local entertainment scene and introduced me to what the Office of Special Events did as far as event production and venue management and all that stuff. And then I became the marketing coordinator once I graduated from here, from UTEP, and worked my way up to assistant director when he left. And I became interim director of special events when Carol left, and now executive director for the office that I once volunteered for. And now I also manage all the special facility management buildings, the Sunbowl Stadium, Don Haskins Center, McGoffin Auditorium, Memorial Gym, all the stuff and everything that happens within those buildings.
So in a way, you have kind of played the role of what some of the people you book, because they started at the bottom, you know, hoping to get that big break. And you were very fortunate to work here, and you learned the ropes while you were still a student. And now you're doing that. And some people might wonder, as far as like, well, what actually goes on behind the scenes? It must be a glamorous job to be able to, you know, meet these people. And yes, it is. But at the same time, they don't realize how hard you work.
It is a lot of work. It's from the moment that you're trying to bid for shows, looking for opportunities to bring to the market and submit offers, do sales pitch, you know, to an agent or an artist or a promoter. I travel a lot to the meccas of entertainment, the United States, New York, L.A., Nashville, to meet with agents, to sell not only the region, El Paso, but of course our buildings, and tell them what a great region this is for them to come here and be successful. And I think we have a great history with them, a very successful history of doing shows in a very successful way. And we've done that, and we have a great reputation in the business. So they keep coming back. If you've noticed, we've gotten a lot more product, a lot more events coming through us for a couple of reasons. One, the economy is a lot better, so people have that disposable income to buy the tickets. Two, that makes a lot of artists tour because they know the industry is doing well. And then three, the market supports what we bring. So it doesn't matter if I kill myself to bring One Direction or Steve Miller, whatever. If people don't buy the ticket, then that speaks volume about the market, and it helps or hinders what we're trying to do. But we've been very blessed that the market has embraced all the shows that we've brought.
Now, we all have, and as kids especially, we had wish lists, and then there's the reality check here. So I'm sure that you have wish lists, and then you have other people who you are trying to book. And people might wonder, because I'm sure that you get approached all the time. They'll say, you know, why don't you bring Coldplay? Why don't you bring, you know, whoever? And you'll say, well, you know, it's not that easy. And do you get a list of people who are touring, or do you get a list of people that you'd like to come? And you said already that you speak to the agents. How does that work, Jorge?
Well, I go to industry conferences to find out the 411 as to the rumor mill, who's planning to go on tour next year or the year after that or whatever. So that's part of the process. Also, it's all about relationships. You have to establish great working relationships with artists, with promoters, with agents, so that you're fresh in their mind. And whenever they're planning a tour, they're like, oh, the guys from El Paso do a great job, and we've had many successful shows with them. Let's give them a call. So it's being in constant communication with them. It's reading a lot. I subscribe to Pollstar, Billboard. I watch a lot of television when it comes to award shows and what's going on. I mean, just being the entertainment industry is what we do, and just being knowledgeable of what's going on helps a lot. But it's all about relationships, I would say, because that's how you know what's going on and if you have a chance to go for them. But yeah, there's a lot of acts that we're not able to bring because of mostly, let's say, Beyoncé, for example. People ask me, why don't you bring Beyoncé? Well, she works, let's say, 21 dates in 1 year. So those 21 dates are going to be given to markets that are in larger size, because they want to maximize their audience. And our market is not that size yet. The region is quite large, but for them, they see the city. And I think it's a learning process, and we'll get there at some point. But now artists go to primary markets, what they call it, Chicago, L.A., New York, all those.
Tell us about coming up. You have Juan Gabriel in Maná, and Juan Gabriel, Vicente Fernandez, George Strait when he was touring, all those people always seem to do very well in El Paso.
Yes. El Paso, like I said, embrace a lot of the acts that are recurrent acts for us. Juan Gabriel is the third time that we bring him in 2 years, and he sells out every time. Maná, they're very successful too, and there's other events that they remember El Paso because they've done great here.
And they came here when... Before they were real big, and some of our students interviewed them, and that was, gosh, back in 1990-something, a long time ago. As far as, like you said, Juan Gabriel always sells out, and it's interesting when you look at market sizes and demographics, people who go to his concerts range from women, men in their 60s, 70s, all the way to, you know, teens and mid-20s.
Yes, there's several artists, and Juan Gabriel is one of those who are cross-generational. For example, I'm an example of that. I grew up, my mom listened to Juan Gabriel as I was growing up, so I know the lyrics and I know the songs because my mom introduced me to that music and all the music that she liked, and the same goes for my dad. So certain artists are able to transcend that gap between one generation and the other and keep themselves current and alive and relevant. And Juan Gabriel is one of those. Plus, he's very prolific still. He still writes. If you go to his concerts, you'll realize that there's a new song that you had never heard, but yet it sounds so familiar if you knew it already. So he reinvents himself. And I think that's the key for artists as they're being developed, the new generation of artists, to look at what they have done in the past, other people before them, and kind of follow their footsteps.
Now, this one that's coming, the concert in August, I believe is going to be especially special for people here on the border, because it has to do with Mexico and mariachis, and so I'm sure that's what people associate him with, a lot of the great mariachi songs. Oh, and of course, also some of the, you know, ballads and other songs.
Yes, the name of the tour is Mexico es todo. Everything is Mexico, and it's going to be quite a fiesta on stage. And he brings a great mariachi band every time. They're very loyal. They've been with Juan Gabriel for a long, long time. They're one and the same. It's a great spectacle, musically and otherwise. People will get quite a show.
And then there are other bands, and you know, everybody always says what's old is new again, and so you start getting the nostalgia, and you start getting some of these bands from the 60s, 70s, and even 80s touring again. And so you had James Taylor recently, you're going to have Steve Miller, and there have been some other nostalgia groups on tour.
Yeah, we've been so lucky to have brought the 90s show, Vanilla Ice, and all those 90s big stars that once, you know, hit the charts. We've sold out those events. We've had 70s artists that have come here as part of, it's called the Throwback Jam. And is all those, we call them one-hit wonders, but the truth of the matter is that they had more than one hit. That's why they were big during their time. But they've all come together, and then now they tour together. And we have concert series with this one promoter that brings him every time, the Valentine's Super Love Jam, many, many.
And as far as what I found out, I didn't go to the James Taylor concert, but I heard that in addition to the great music, that he was so gracious and generous in giving autographs during intermission.
He did. That's something that when we call him a show advance, when we speak in advance with a tour, so they can let us know what to expect in terms of production, they said, don't be concerned, but he, during the intermission, he will remain on stage, and he will shake hands. He will meet the autographs, a non-planned autograph session. The fans didn't know. It was quite a surprise, and he signed autographs, took selfies with people. I mean, it was very nice. People appreciated that.
And this was interesting, too, because I know a friend who went in. He grew up with James Taylor, and so his kids grew up with James Taylor, and then his kids' kids. So the whole family was listening to James Taylor, and it was a big event for them.
Yes, people enjoyed that concert so much. We got so much positive feedback after the show that, you know, you need to bring more of this nostalgic type of event.
Most of the concerts are generally in the Don Haskins Center. You have had concerts at the Sun Bowl. So what are the different things that you have to look at in venues like this?
Every tour is assigned to be either an arena tour, shed tour, or a stadium tour. And they have to be pre-designed for a specific venue type because of production, you know, staging and sound and lights. They're different from an arena to a stadium. And the cost is different. So an artist that tours stadiums is a very strong artist, very popular artist who can guarantee ticket sales that will pay for all the expenses that a stadium tour requires.
Now, there's a show that you're still working on negotiations. We can't talk about that. But tell us a little bit about some of the things that people can expect in the upcoming months.
A really popular brand that we have year after year is Monster Trucks in the stadium. Speaking of the stadium, they're coming back in March, and they reinvent the show every time. They do new Monster Trucks autograph sessions. I mean, they bring novelty items in merchandise. It's a very fun, an inexpensive show for the whole family, and it's a family tradition. So that's coming back. And then Cirque du Soleil, I'm talking to them to bring them back in April. I'm excited about that. When it happens, it's going to be a very fun show for the entire family, a very cute, colorful event for the kids and adults as well. Cirque du Soleil is a very entertaining event, and it's very educational at some point as well. It's a very fun event to attend, and having it in El Paso is a big deal because you no longer have to go to Vegas and pay for the expensive ticket prices of airplane and accommodations. You have it in your backyard, and that's a huge opportunity that we have.
Jorge, if people are interested in finding out more about your office and perhaps some of the concerts upcoming, what is your website, or do you have a Facebook page?
We have a Facebook page. Just Google UTEP Special Events or search for UTEP Special Events on Facebook. And also our website is specialevents.com, UTEPspecialevents.com.
Well, Jorge, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure being with you again.
Thank you for the invite.
And congratulations on everything you've accomplished.
Thank you, sir.
We've been visiting with Jorge Vasquez, Executive Director of Special Events, and he's been talking about what's coming to UTEP, what's been here, and Juan Gabriel and Mana are upcoming here at the UTEP Special Events, the Don Haskins Center. Again, our thanks to Jorge Vasquez. Focus on Campus is taped and produced at the KTP Studios, University of Texas at El Paso Communication Building. Our thanks to our engineer, Andrea Granado. You've been tuned to Focus on Campus. I'm Luis Sainz.